the way that we look at the body, the way that we look at our remedies is a lot different. And so what I mean by that is that every individual has a different constitution. And so when you're looking at herbs for a specific person or remedies for a specific person, you want to match that remedy to what's going to be best for that person, not necessarily like, I have high blood pressure. There is this high blood pressure pill. This works for everybody. So it's a lot different. And I think that it's a great way of looking at our remedies and at people in general. So when we launch into the conversation about herbal aphrodisiacs, remembering to look through that lens of like, not every herb is going to be the right herb for you in this time, in this situation, in your body, with your desire, with your sensuality, like all of those things differ from person to person.
Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach.
All right, Angelina, I'm so excited to talk with you today about herbs, and especially herbs in relation to libido and sexual vitality, because this is an area that, if you look at ancient medicine, they've used herbs for many different uses over the years. Western medicine really hasn't accepted herbal medicine. And so I'm very excited to learn how we can help support our bodies, especially our libido, with herbs. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the world of being an herbologist.
Thank you so much, Jordan. I'm excited to be here too. I really appreciate the invitation. My name is Angelina Kesselberg, and I'm a clinical herbalist. And I help people with their health concerns using herbal medicine. And I really have a strong affinity for the plants that grow here in Southern California, as I believe that our local plants usually offer up the best healing for those bodies that live in that space. As far as my journey with herbal medicine, I, like a lot of healers, experienced my own health crisis. And so in the search for some answers, I was looking for an herbalist because I was like, I think that maybe that would help, you know? And in that search, I found an herb school. And you know, when you have this calling, it just kind of like hits you like a ton of bricks. I just felt this intense need to sign up for an herb class. So I just, you know, I did it right then and there. And I went to my first herb class and I was blown away by like how connected everybody felt to the earth and how connected I felt to that calling. And so I did a 2-year clinical herbalism program with the Self-Heal School of Herbal Studies. And since then, herbalism has taken me down a lot of different paths, from medicine making and helping people in the clinical setting to creating all sorts of different teas for people for their health. Because I think that like that daily ritual is really strongly tied with our health goals, and like putting that intention into the things that you're putting into your body is huge. And then I've also done a lot of different herbal programs, specializing in, you know, different areas of herbalism. And I'm currently in a 2-year field apprenticeship program where we go out into the field and wildcraft herbs and do field botany. So just really love being immersed into the plant world.
That's crazy. I am somebody who does not have a green thumb. I can't grow any plants for the life of me. Like, I kill aloe. And the thought of going herb hunting just sounds very challenging to me. So I want to talk a little bit more, like, what specifically are herbal aphrodisiacs?
That's a good question, right? You know, I've been trying to answer that question myself, because if you do a quick Google search, you're going to find some definitions that sound like herbal aphrodisiacs are herbs that stimulate sexual desire, stimulate sexual function, that raise sexual function. But like, what does that mean? You know, like, what does that actually mean? And I think that for me, the answer is really complex. You know, our bodies are really complex. Male and female bodies, so like womb bearers, are a lot different than people that have male genitalia. And there's been a lot of studies on herbal aphrodisiacs and men, but not so much with women. And so this is a brand new sector, meaning like the last 50 years, which is a very short timeline in our like current society, that we've been really looking at herbal aphrodisiacs for women. And it even gets more complex because when you dive into the world of herbal medicine, you begin to realize that the lens that you look through is a lot different than that current allopathic model. So meaning like the current medical system that we are in right now, the way that we look at the body, the way that we look at our remedies is a lot different. And so what I mean by that is that every individual has a different constitution. And so when you're looking at herbs for a specific person or remedies for a specific person, you want to match that remedy to what's going to be best for that person. Not necessarily like, I have high blood pressure. There is this high blood pressure pill. This works for everybody. So it's a lot different. And I think that it's a great way of looking at our remedies and at people in general. So when we launch into the conversation about herbal aphrodisiacs, remembering to look through that lens of like, not every herb is going to be the right herb for you in this time, in this situation, in your body, with your desire, with your sensuality, like all of those things differ from person to person. And if you subscribe to like, you know, a little bit of animism, that plants have this animate quality, you're wanting one of those beautiful plants to work with you in your body and how they express and how you express.
I love that you pointed out that what works for one person may not work for another, because so often in like the supplement world, everybody's like, oh, my friend does X, Y, and Z, so I should do X, Y, and Z. But is that actually appropriate for you and your body and what your needs are? And you also mentioned, you know, like as women, we're complex. And I can only imagine how our menstrual cycle also kind of plays into how the herbs work and which herbs are best at the best time based on our menstrual cycle too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like our menstrual cycles and the cycles of our lives, our cycles as women are very different, even going through, you know, your teenage years to your childbearing years, passing that into perimenopause and menopause, like your needs are going to be so vastly different throughout the cycles of your life and your individual cycle. And like I was talking about people's constitutions too, sometimes if you are somebody who's really tense, has a lot of looping thoughts, that can really impede sensuality and being able to like let yourself go and get into the mood and feel relaxed. And so that person's needs are going to be a lot different than the person's needs who's really dry. Maybe their mucous membranes are super dry and they have a hard time feeling sensual both in their mouth and their vagina because they're having a hard time excreting your natural lubrication. So when we're talking about herbal aphrodisiacs, both of those people can benefit from utilizing herbs, but they would get two very different herbs. It's so funny. You mentioned you kill aloe. And I was like, ooh, what a perfect example. You know, like you think about aloe and you cut it and there's this like drip that comes down and I'm like, yes, that's like that perfect example of like that like juicy sensuality that we're looking for. And so when I think about herbs and matching them with people, you know, in herbalism, we call that demulcent. So this like really slippery, slimy, juicy sort of consistency that's really wonderful for dry tissues in our whole bodies, but great also for, you know, our vulva and our womb space and being in our childbearing years, getting that area to be like nice and juicy to prepare for like childbearing and sexual activity and sexual function, whether you're with a partner or somebody else or yourself.
Yes. I love that. So you mentioned how herbal aphrodisiacs can support women in lubrication, dryness, as well as sensuality. What are some other ways that herbal aphrodisiacs help enhance libido and sexual vitality?
Well, you would also mention hormonal balance, and that's a big one. You know, I think that's a huge one for women in our society for a number of different reasons. And I think, you know, the basis of that has a lot to do with our current, the way that we farm food. Our food doesn't have as many nutrients as it used to. So we're lacking in a lot of basic nutrition. And so this isn't necessarily an herbal thing, but a lot of people are deficient in magnesium and zinc. And those two items have a lot to do with our sexual function. And so if we're deficient, then we can have a hard time trying to find the answers. And then in addition to that, a lot of women, especially during their childbearing years, have issues with hormonal balance. And like I said, because of nutrition, but also because of phytoestrogens that are in our food. And so finding herbs that work for you and where you're at too, because we all have different levels of imbalance when it comes to our hormones. And it can be during different parts of our cycle. And a lot of that has to do with what are your exact symptoms with your cycle, you know, like where do you experience imbalance? And there's a giant list of places that women experience imbalance, from heavy bleeding to having fibroids to, like, I mean, the list really goes on and on. And so if you have something like a painful fibroid, figuring out your hormonal balance so that you can heal that is going to be huge in your sexual function. Like, huge. Nobody wants to experience pain when they're trying to, like, have this beautiful, pleasurable experience, unless you want to experience pain, you know? So working with your hormones on a regular basis. And so this is the thing that I try to tell my clients all the time, is that when you're going through your cycle, and if you're experiencing PMS spikes, whether it's a mood spike, pain in your cycle, if you're experiencing breast tenderness, that's not normal. It's a sign that there is an imbalance. These things are not, they're common, but they're not normal. And so figuring out what those signs and symptoms are, what parts of your cycle they're related to, and figuring out an herbal formula that's going to work for you to bring you back into balance. And so if you're experiencing PMS and you have a partner and you want to get sexy during your, like, peak ovulation time where you're feeling super, you're not going to feel sexy. You're going to feel angry, you know? So, like, working on other organ systems like our livers and our hormonal balance is going to be really intense. And then during that peak ovulation time, you are going to feel so sexy. If everything's in balance. And so same thing with our cycles. Like, if we're experiencing pain during our cycles, masking that pain during that specific time isn't necessarily the answer. It can be part of it, but looking at that as a sign that you need to do some deeper work with your cycle.
Yes. And I feel so called out, because I stopped my birth control about 2-3 years ago, and it's been an ever learning journey about my body, but I really think I have PMDD and I have severe breast tenderness, but it's just like this trial and error of learning my body, and some months are better than others. And it's like, okay, so what did I do different this month compared to the last? And yeah, we could go down a rabbit hole with that, but I feel very called out, because I know that my hormones need to be addressed.
I didn't mean to call you out by any means, but I too struggled a lot with PMDD in that sense. I mean, I've never been formally diagnosed, but I do know that for a fact, because I've done cycling on the herbs that I take to see if this is still what I need, is this truly helping? And when I stop taking my herbs, I notice my mood swings. It's exactly 10 days before my cycle start getting really intense, and I feel like my expressions are not in alignment with what is happening in reality. So, and then I'm like, oh, yep, herbs are still working. I still need them. They're still my allies.
I love that. I am definitely going to have to chat with you offline about managing all that, because it's an ongoing learning process. What are some particular herbs that you recommend a lot of times for, like, libido and desire and pleasure?
So one of the herbs that I've worked with a lot and that I love sharing with people, because it's such, like, a happy, friendly herb to work with, is Damiana. And a lot of it's like that one kind of, like, go-to herbal aphrodisiac. And Damiana is an herb that is native to Baja. So it's really close to where we are in its, where it grows. And it has a long history in Mexican herbalism. And it's also an herb that is uplifting. So it really helps to uplift the mood. And it's also a vasodilator. So it helps to open up the blood vessels and drive that blood to the pelvic region. And so for, you know, any time that you want to experience a little bit of heightened sensation, you know, having that blood driven to that pelvic area is really, it's beneficial. It feels good. It feels pulsate, you know, it pulsates. And Damiana I feel like when you get, like, a really good quality Damiana and you smell that herb, it's, like, intoxicating. Just even being around it, to smell it, to like allow those essential oils that are inside that herb to like enter and permeate your body is really, you know, it's a beautiful experience. And it blends really well with another aphrodisiac that I think a lot of people are familiar with is chocolate, you know, and chocolate necessarily, not necessarily being like chocolate that we buy off the shelves at the grocery store, but like really good quality cacao. And Damiana makes a beautiful, beautiful blend. When I was in my first herbal program, we did this really wonderful thing where we all studied different herbs each month and then came back together and shared those findings with each other. And I didn't have Damiana, but somebody else did. And she came back with so many beautiful creations, like this Damiana elixir and these Damiana brownies and all of these different ways that we got to experience Damiana. And the whole class was like so jazzed up on Damiana that we had to take a break and go to lunch because we were so giggly and couldn't focus. It was quite a, you know, a sensual experience that we all had together.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah. I just recently heard about that. I have a friend who started an aphrodisiac wine and it's full of adaptogenics. And that was one of them that they had mentioned. So that was the first time I've ever heard of this because the herbal world is, I would say, fairly new unless it's supplement based. It's fairly new to me. So what other herbs do you like to use?
So another one that I really love is shatavari. It's an Ayurvedic herb and it is, gosh, okay. So this herb, the name kind of translates to, I think, 1,000 roots, but it's often referred to as she who has 1,000 husbands. And so, right? Like, yes, I can just like be here and just experience all of this different, you know, pleasure. But and shatavari is one of those herbs that is really moistening. I taught a workshop back in February, an herbal aphrodisiacs workshop is something that I like to do generally around Valentine's Day, really to promote self-love because, you know, it all comes back to how you take care of your body and how you take care of yourself and how you show up for yourself and how you can share that with other people. So I really love doing that. And I made an electuary, which is honey that wasn't infused with herbs, but has ground up powdered herbs that are mixed into it to make this like really beautiful paste that you can just eat if you want. You can mix it into tea. So I made an electuary with shatavari, rose petals, and cardamom for us all to enjoy during this workshop. And I was testing it as, you know, we were approaching the workshop. And I was like, just seeing, I'm like, you know, is this really going to make me feel like a slip and slide down there? And it did. Like, I mean, every single time I was like, oh, I am like just so wet walking around the house. And then after that workshop, I still had some left over and I had a good friend who came to me. She had just had a baby and she was experiencing some difficulty with her lactation. And I was like, oh, I've got that electuary that I made for the aphrodisiac workshop. So not only does shatavari help with our vaginal lubrication, lubrication of other tissues, but it also helps our milk come in. And so that's something that I find often with a lot of the herbal aphrodisiacs, specifically for women, that help to balance our hormones. They help with the moistening of our tissues, and they also help with lactation when we're going through that period of time in our life. And so that's a really cool, you know, it's like so cool how they have so many different ways to support us on our journey as women.
Are you ready to start understanding yourself better, learning and recognizing your patterns, and really develop a relationship with yourself? If this sounds like you, the Unleashing My Power, a Women's Empowerment and Gratitude Journal is for you. This journal was specifically curated for women just like you to help you take back your power and develop and go to the next level in life. My friend Danielle and I created this journal because of our own experiences and what we were looking for in a daily practice to improve our connection to self and really become connected with ourselves. This is game-changing, and the feedback that we are getting from other women who have started using this journal is absolutely amazing. You can find it on Amazon, or you can go to jordandanelle.com/journal, and it'll take you right there. I hope you enjoy. Be sure to go snag yours right away and leave me a review. Tell us what you think about it. Slide in the DMs. I know that your life will change when you start using this journal.
And there's so many different ways to utilize them. Like, there's not just one way for each of these, or one method of action, I guess you could say, and that there's a lot of different impacts that it can have based on what you need, which kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning, is that you need things differently than other people based on your own concerns and what you're working on individually. And I mean, like, I'm sure you titrate like different dosing amounts with all of this as well to really curate like the perfect blend for each individual's needs.
Yeah. And it is really important. I mean, dosage is very important for sure. And being able to understand an herb at its base function has been really beneficial for me too, because of things like that, you know, and like learning those connections between the functions of the herbs. Because like I said, it's not just like this herb for that. Most herbs are like a formula in themselves. And so it's matching the what that herb has to share with the things that that person needs assistance with. And then I did mention rose already with that electuary that I talked about. And rose it's a really beautiful herb to work with. And I think that because, you know, we associate roses with Valentine's Day, or I feel like sometimes people are like, oh, rose is so common. But roses are they are a divine flower. They're the highest vibration of any flower, specifically that white rose. And so when you're thinking about that quality of vibration or that quality of orgasm, you know, rose really does align with that vibrational quality. And rose has this beautiful way of showcasing her beauty in just such like a vibrant, fragrant, colorful way. But then you travel down her stem and you realize that she has all these thorns. And so she, you know, is able to exist in her fullest expression, but still maintain some good solid boundaries. And so when I think about, especially as like women walking in this world today, like in my mind, the goal is to be as like vibrant and vivacious as you possibly, as really as you want to be, but then maintaining those strong boundaries. So you know when to say no, you know when to like, you know, this is for me, not for you. And so rose really exhibits those qualities. And working with her medicine, she's an astringent. And so she helps to astringe tissues, which is why she's in a lot of facial products, especially for aging skin, because that astringent quality helps to tighten and tonify our tissues. But it also does that throughout our body. And so if we're having any sort of vasculature issues, like hemorrhoids or prolapse or anything like that inside of our bodies, rose can be a really solid ally and is so gentle and safe to use. I had no problem giving it to any of my pregnant friends it's gentle, but strong. And so I just really love that association when we're looking at our sensuality and our sexuality, of like being able to soften into this space while maintaining this beautiful layer of protection.
I love roses, and I love the description you just said about them, because it really lands as to probably why I really like roses and why I regularly have roses. But interestingly enough, I did a in-person event not too long ago, and we gave everybody a rose, all of the women a rose. And so I love all of the things that you're saying about roses, because I think that's amazing. And boundaries are important, especially as women.
So yeah.
I love your interpretation of rose.
Thank you. Yeah. And so, I mean, and you had mentioned adaptogens earlier too, and adaptogens are a class of herbs that are like having a moment right now in the world. You know, it's a really big buzzword, and they're included in a lot of drinks. We go to the store and you find these cute little soda pop looking drinks that have, you know, they are like adaptogens, this and adaptogens, that. And I think that that's fantastic. I love that herbs are getting out into the world. We see ashwagandha in that, you know, category a lot. We see Tulsi in that category a lot. There's a lot of other adaptogens too, like rhodiola, that is really beautiful to help for our cycles. And adaptogens specifically as a class of herbs, they have a non-specific response on our nervous system. And so it's an interesting definition, right? It's like it has this non-specific response. And this was discovered, I think, by Russian chemists when they were studying the herb Eleuthero, which is another herb that, you know, has some aphrodisiac qualities. But that non-specific response is really in relation to that it has this whole body effect. So it's like, it's not this effect that's on one particular body system or is like noticeably stronger on one particular body system. It's like this whole body system effect. And a lot of those adaptogens are meant to be worked with on a regular basis. And so having a beverage containing, you know, some ashwagandha is great, but even better is to work with that herb if that's something that you feel called to do on more of a daily basis or like on a cycle basis.
Yeah. I'm curious too. So you brought up ashwagandha. I hear a lot about like maca root or maca root. I'm not even sure how you say that correctly. And also like vitex or shastri berry. What are your thoughts on both of those, and do they help at all from like the pleasure sensuality side?
Yeah. So vitex is interesting because it has that common name of chastity berry. And so that comes from this association with the monks. I'm still confused about this because the monks allegedly used to take chastity berry or vitex to help them with their chasteness. So to like not have these like desires. However, when we look at it in herbal medicine, it can have an aphrodisiac effect for both men and women. I've personally worked with that herb a lot with my own cycle and have found it to be really beneficial for me in regulating my hormones. And I noticed specifically like an increase when I take it in my sensuality. However, having your hormones regulated and being in the flow of your cycle and really being able to experience the magic of being a womb bearer, of being a menstruating woman when you don't have the distractions of PMDD and painful periods and all those things is like, that does put you in a place of sensuality. And it's a cool herb. I mean, there's a lot of people that grow vitex in their gardens. It grows as a large tree. And like, I've seen it in like the Nevada, Las Vegas area. Like I went to go visit my sister one time. I was like, oh, that's vitex. There are big trees here. That's like amazing. And the berries aren't like big juicy strawberries. They're like these like little teeny tiny hard berries, but you can work with it as a tea if you'd like. But I feel like its medicine is best used either as a tincture or ground up and put into like an herbal supplement or something of that nature.
Yeah. So I work in fertility as my day job, and I find a lot of patients do like ashwagandha and vitex because that's kind of what's out in the literature, or I guess society, not necessarily literature, but more so like in society, of some herbs that can help with that. And we were kind of talking about this beforehand, but as kind of like a disclaimer, always talk with your providers before using herbs, because they can have an impact as far as different medications that you're on. They also can have an impact with, like, from the fertility standpoint, we don't actually recommend those while going through treatment because of the fact that you cannot really regulate and control those, and you don't truly know the impact that they're having. There's just not enough studies on women in particular, especially menstruating women. And so this is all for educational purposes, not necessarily for using, but you can always like schedule a consult to learn more about how these types of herbs can be beneficial for you. So just a little disclaimer about the podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And it's so true. I mean, I feel like even for me, I like to work with somebody else, because when you're trying to figure out your body, it's nice to have somebody who has an objective perspective, even for people who work in this field. You know, like I constantly have other practitioners that I work with for my own cycle, and I recommend that other people do the same. There's a lot of information out there. My partner is really into TikTok and is constantly sharing videos with me. And she's like, is this right? You know, is this correct herbal information? And I would say about 90% of the time, I'm like, either not really, or it's like not the whole picture. And so working with herbal medicines is something that your listeners are looking to explore. I'd highly recommend working with somebody who has experience in it. And I highly recommend it because it can be very beneficial.
Absolutely. And just like anything, and honestly, even with like medications in Western medicine, there is a great purpose for them sometimes, but when used inappropriately, maybe not. And I mean, opiates, prime example. They're great for pain, but when used inappropriately, can be habit forming and cause a lot of other complications, I guess would be one way to put it. And so I think that's the same with anything that we do with our body, whether it's herbs, whether it's supplements, whether it's medications, like really have to figure out what is right for you and what do you actually need. What are some things that you should be aware of when using herbs or before starting to use herbs if you are somebody that maybe is curious about them but hasn't quite gotten into them yet?
It's a good question. I always like to say start slow if that's something that you are curious about, and then keep good records. I think that that's really important for any of us. You know, like it's really hard to say how you felt 4 months ago if you don't keep good records of how you felt 4 months ago. And so especially if you're looking to work with your cycle or fertility or even just increasing your sexual function, I would keep records of all of your symptoms, keep records of your cycle, keep records of when you had sex, keep records of when you masturbated. Just like if that's something that you're looking for, like keep records so that you have some sort of timeline to refer back to when you're asking that question, is this herb beneficial for me?
I love that recommendation. I have a gratitude journal that's on Amazon. And that was one thing that I started doing, like paying attention to my mood more specifically and in relation to like my cycle. And when you can look back and see the patterns more clearly, it is so helpful for identifying like, did this actually help? Or what are my patterns that I'm trying to work on? But you won't remember like on this day at this time, I wanted to burn my business down. You won't remember that unless you literally wrote it down somewhere. Like today I was trying to burn my business down. And that's what happens to me when I'm in my luteal phase. I blow everything up. I want to burn everything down, throw it all out the window. Don't talk to me for 10 straight days. Like fuck you and everybody around you. Like it's bad. But I'm learning to appreciate it from a little bit different light. But ultimately, like if you don't track that, you don't track your patterns, you have no clue.
It's so true. Yeah. And then, like I said, start slow. So maybe instead of choosing this like huge formula that has a bunch of stuff in it or making these grand changes, I'm going to take magnesium and zinc and Vitex and ashwagandha and rhodiola and all these things. Maybe just start with one change. Start taking magnesium. See how it makes you feel after a month. And then slowly add different things or take them away if they're not working for you.
How can incorporating herbs into your holistic approach to health benefit like women's overall well-being?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The first thing that I think of is our moods. I think of our nervous systems. I think about, you know, women in today's society, I feel are caring so much. We are people who are raising children. We are people who are running businesses. We are holding our houses together. We're holding our families together. We're caring for our elderly. It's a lot. And so I feel like now more than ever, we really need support in a way that I don't really feel that the Western medical system is set up to provide. I have been really frustrated with the care that I've received in the Western medical system because I've had so many challenges with my cycle. And I'm so grateful that that gave me the inspiration to look outside of that and find answers elsewhere. However, we don't always have time and availability for that kind of research or that kind of self-care, even though we know that it's really important. And so I feel like there's a huge space for self-care and allowing people like myself, people like you, you know, these different healthcare providers that are offering care in different facets to be able to support women on their journey through life. And so that way they can approach the world with brand new eyes. I mean, even I'll just talk about myself personally, working with herbs, whenever I fall into different states of either sadness or depression or grief, you know, like we all go through these cycles of life. And sometimes I forget, I'm like, oh yes, I've got these herbal allies that I can work with. And then after a week, I'm like, oh, I feel so much better. Oh my gosh. Why didn't I do this sooner? You know, like I have the tools and resources to be able to move myself through these phases so that I can still function, you know, and experience heavy things like grief, you know, that we all go through in this human experience. And so if you don't have that base knowledge, recognizing that reaching out to people is necessary.
I love that you describe herbs as ultimately like a self-love tool and part of your routine. And I think that that's really important because they really can just be used to support us. And we have these tools in our toolbox. I'm the same way as you, as I have a million tools in my toolbox, and sometimes I forget to use 90% of them, but it happens. And so, yeah, I love that you describe them as that. To wrap up our podcast today, I would love for you to define what pleasure means to you.
Yeah. I mean, like that right there is pleasure. It's so interesting because pleasure exists on so many different levels, you know, like sometimes like pleasure is excitement, and it's like that, like having like all of like your body feeling like big and buzzy and vibrating. And sometimes like pleasure feels like that ultimate release and relaxation. And in my body, it is a very sensual experience, in like the sense of like it's feeling a lot of sensation and allowing myself to be fully in my body and fully present with those sensations in my body.
Oh, that's a beautiful definition. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I have really enjoyed learning about herbs and herbal aphrodisiacs with you. I think that the listeners are really going to enjoy kind of learning more about this as well. Where can they find you at?
So you can find me. My business is called Herbal Tonics. It's URBALTONIX. I'm sure you'll be able to find it in the show notes. And moreover, my name is Angelina Kesselberg. And like I said, I do work with individuals one-on-one. If you're in the San Diego area, I'm happy to do in-person consultations, but I also do consultations over Zoom. And I also create custom formulations for people, which is, I think, the coolest part, because it's like when you're looking at like that individualized help, creating those custom formulations can be just really beneficial, or more beneficial than, you know, choosing something off the shelf.
Yes, I love it. I won't lie. My brain is spinning of ideas of how to collaborate with you on herbs and things. So thank you so much for chatting with me today. I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely, Jordan. Thank you so much.
This podcast is sponsored by Intimacy Coaching by Jordan Donnell. Have you ever desired more from your sex life, or feel like you're having good sex but curious about how to make it even better? Are you desiring a deeper intimate connection with yourself? Or maybe you are dealing with desire and arousal concerns, or struggling with communicating your desires with your partner. If you're hearing this and thinking, that might be me, and you're curious to learn a bit more, let's chat. I would love to talk with you more to see if working with me is a good fit for you. To learn more about intimacy coaching with Jordan Donnell, go to coaching.jordandonnell.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode, and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again, and see you next episode.